Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 19th day of March, 2024. Before I introduce my guest today, I just want to thank everybody once again on Long Island who gave me such a warm greeting and wonderful time of fellowship when I was on Long Island from Thursday through Sunday. I was there to MC a fundraising gala once again for Grace Christian Academy of Long Island, and that took place at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island, and loved every minute of it, loved meeting new folks, and loved rekindling friendships with folks I haven't seen in years, including an old bartender of mine that I wanted to make sure he saw me as a clean and sober Christian man in his right mind, and more importantly, right with God. And that was a wonderful time to see Tommy again, who didn't even recognize me when I initially walked through the door of Vittorio's restaurant in Amityville, and then all of a sudden it dawned on him who I was, and he gave me a big bear hug, and it was just a wonderful time. So if anybody would like to support financially a wonderful classical Christian school on Long Island, go to gcali.com. That's the website for Grace Christian Academy of Long Island. gcali.com, and you will find how you can support them digitally or over the internet with some tab that they've got on there for Grace Christian Academy. That's gcali.com. But I am thrilled to have a returning guest on the program, a very dear friend of mine, a very generous supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially, and somebody whose brain is chock full of information about the Christian faith. And he is probably most well known for the documentary that he co-wrote and co-created, highly acclaimed documentary called Amazing Grace, The History and Theology of Calvinism. And he's also very well known for his series Against the World TV. And today, my dear friend Jerry Johnson, my guest today, and I are going to be conducting the first edition of something that I call Uncle Jerry's Hodgepodge Lodge, fielding questions on any topic related to Christianity. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jerry Johnson.
Thank you, Chris. It's funny you said Uncle Jerry. You know Mike O'Fallon, don't you?
Oh, yeah, very well.
Mike has a girl that works for him named Kathy Kang.
Oh, yes.
And Kathy used to call me her crazy Uncle Jerry.
Well, it suits you. Yeah, so, Kathy's a lovely, wonderful lady.
She ever get married?
No, that's a very strange phenomenon, isn't it?
Very strange. She's a very... we went to China. Tracy and I did with her. She was in our group. And You know, I couldn't believe it. That's been 12 years ago. And I was like, I can't believe nobody has married this girl.
Well, it's because of
her. She's sweet. She's beautiful.
It has nothing to do with them. It's to do with her. She admits to being extremely fussy, and she deserves to be fussy.
Yeah. Well, she's going to be too fussy.
Yeah, man,
but if
maybe.
That's what she wants to do, that's up to her.
That's right. And I've got to get Mike O'Fallon back on the program, and this is a nice reminder of that. I actually worked with Mike for a bit as part-time for his Sovereign Cruises business. And
yeah.
So I would like to get him back on the program.
Yeah, myself and Dr. White did a conference for him.
Yes. And
again, that was like 12 years ago.
Yep. And I went on a cruise when Dr. James R. White was also involved in a conference cruise.
I'll tell you a secret. Dr. White and I played chess together, and he beat me like his moves. I'm not a chess player.
Well, he definitely is.
He looked up at me and he goes, "You're kidding. That's your." I was like, "Uh-oh, I guess I shouldn't make that."
Well, I'm gonna give our listeners our email address immediately, because this program is largely going to be questions on any topic from our listening audience, as long as it's in some way involving the Christian faith. And that email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a very personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we already have a question from a listener. His name is Brian in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And Brian wants to know, as a Pentecostal, he would like to know what our interpretations are of a couple of passages as non-Pentecostal or non-charismatic, or as the term that has become in vogue as cessationists, how we would interpret these. The first text he would like you to exegete as a non-Pentecostal or charismatic is Joel chapter 2, 28 through 29. "It will come after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." So let's start with that one. He has one more text in the New Testament. But let's start with your understanding of Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29.
Well, let me say this. I used to be a Pentecostal.
That's right.
So I'm not saying I know everything, brother. But I don't want to be offensive, but I was told as a little kid, offense is not something you do, it's something somebody takes. So I would just ask your listeners not to take offense, all right? Because you could solve it very easily by not taking offense. Be stronger than that. Now, when it comes to the Pentecostal view of speaking in tongues, you have to believe in speaking in tongues because it's there. The question is, the way Pentecostals and charismatics practice it, is that speaking in tongues? And I don't believe it is. So the passage in Joel that he is referencing is also the one Peter references in Acts 2. Now, let me say this also. I had a professor at seminary, and he used to tell me the Gospels are the proclamation, the Acts are the narration, the Epistles are the explanation, and Revelation is the consummation. So you have to understand each book in its context.
Right.
When it when it comes to Joel. That is a very good passage. But again, the way that charismatics and Pentecostals are practicing these things, I don't believe that is accurate. I don't believe it's biblical. Now, I've always thought that this is one of the more difficult passages. Again, I said Peter reiterates it in Acts chapter 2. So the passage in Joel, I would say let it stand as it is. One of the things you had mentioned, the time. When was the time? Peter ascribed it to what was going on in Acts.
Right.
And again, we've got to remember Acts is, what, 32 chapters?
Mm-hmm.
Covering 40-something years? I can't remember right now. I'm losing it. I'm sorry. It's near the end of the day. 28 chapters. I'm sorry. 28 chapters covering 34 years of the Acts of the Apostles, if you will. So it's, you're getting very scanty information. So how would I deal with it? I just let it stand as it is. Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So with that said, how do I understand it? I pretty much let Peter, because I believe in a Christo-apostolic hermeneutic. Who better to interpret the Old Testament than Christ and his apostles? And I pretty much let it stand the way it is. I don't believe the way the Pentecostals, though, are practicing everything, that it is what they're saying. And notice, Peter's statement is, that is this which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, it's not saying it's happening today. It's a continual thing. So this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So did it end at Acts 2? Did it end on the day of Pentecost? There's nothing in the text that says it's continuing for us today.
Yeah, this is a prophecy in the Old Covenant that was fulfilled in the New Covenant, as you said. Peter references the prophecy, and this could not possibly prove that after the closing of the canon that we are still supposed to expect Christians to speak in tongues and receive extra biblical revelation. The Bible was still being written, not only in the Old Covenant, but in the New Covenant, while Peter was alive, the canon was not yet closed. In other words, we did not receive from God the full revelation of Scripture at this point. It was still being inscripturated. And therefore, that cannot prove that after the Bible was completed, that we would still need these things. And there are many things that were prophesied and occurred in the Old Covenant that most, if not all, Pentecostals do not practice today. And the other thing that you mentioned is the speaking in tongues. Well, let me first go to the other text that he mentions, which is Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, the scriptures were not yet complete when this was a text given to the church. And in fact, I believe that there's some controversy over this, whether it was actually a part of the original canon. But nonetheless, the tongues, for instance, you and I believe that the scriptures teach that these tongues were real foreign languages, that a person who did not know those languages already were given a miraculous gift to proclaim the gospel in other languages that they had never learned before. That was the miraculous aspect of it. And today, you will have some claim here and there, some anecdote of someone who claims that they heard a person that never learned Chinese or Italian or Spanish or German, and there was speaking in tongues, and it was in that language. But the vast majority of examples we have in the 20th and 21st century of this occurring, it is, and again, I'm glad you told our listeners not to be offended, but it's gibberish. It's made up languages that, interestingly, most often sound alike when people are speaking in tongues. Shantara hobri habarakalmarishikabarakalama, you know, when they're doing that,
right,
they very often sound the same as other people speaking in tongues. And it also is a handful of syllables typically that are repeated over and over again. So even if it was some kind of a real language, angelic or otherwise, it would be the repetition of the same few words over and over again.
Yeah. Now, Chris, let me say this.
Okay.
I don't know if I said this before, but when I was still a Pentecostal, I had a friend of mine that was in Cyphers for the United States Marine Corps. And he came to the church. Him and his wife were going to be godparents to my first son. And, you know, that's what he did. He broke codes. Well, we had this lady that morning that he came to the church speak in tongues. And Jeff looked at me and said, she's taken five syllables, saying them over again and again, and just in different order. And he said, that's all she's doing. And so, you know, that I'm not saying, at that time, I still believed in speaking in tongues, even though I had never practiced it, because I do not believe experience is the best teacher. I believe the Word of God is the best teacher.
Right.
And so, and that was something I thought was really interesting. I looked back on that, and I thought of that when I started really researching the subject out. And I was really surprised that there was no biblical evidence for the way Pentecostals and charismatics practice speaking in tongues.
Right. And as far as the other signs are concerned, and perhaps even especially in regard to healing, miraculous healing, although you and I believe God heals today, and
yep,
when we are seriously ill, as you were not long ago with, after a stroke, or someone else that we know and love has cancer or anything, we go directly to God. We plead with them to heal that person or ourselves, depending upon who has the ailment. And we believe that God does at times, if he so chooses to, heals people. But we do not believe that humans in the 21st century, after the canon was closed, have a gift of healing. And
nope.
One of the reasons that supports our view is that you never see anyone who is a Pentecostal or charismatic healer healing in the ways that you see in the scriptures that are absolutely mind-blowing and remarkable, like people who are missing a limb. They don't have arms or legs, or they're missing an arm or a leg. You don't ever see faith healers, so-called, restoring those limbs. You don't see,
right,
you don't see people who are actually blind or completely deaf, not subtly hard of hearing or something, as many healing services will have somebody whose hearing got better, they say. But
right,
but somebody who was born blind, somebody who was born deaf, you don't see those healings taking place, although it's always in Africa when you hear about, how come you don't see those kinds of people getting healed? Well, they do in Africa. You know, they always claim it's a place far away in the jungle where there's no internet or whatever. And, you know, especially, as I mentioned, raising of the dead. You don't see that happening. Now, there is a disagreement amongst even cessationists today where their exorcisms are still being had today. I have no problem believing in an exorcism being valid. As the text includes in Mark, one of the sign gifts. But that would be, I can't think of anything else to say right now. Do you think that you've exhausted this topic, or do you want to add anything?
You know, the only thing I would say, at least this dear brother, I'm guessing it was.
Yes, Brian.
At least, I mean, what he's doing is he's assuming, or he's basing his faith upon Scripture. And I am taken back to a story that John Gerster used to tell. And I'll say it to you right now, all right? John Gerster was doing four nights on the doctrine of election and predestination. And a woman came up to him before the lecture and said, "Dr. Gerster, I don't believe in election and predestination because I don't believe they're in the Bible." All right, fair enough. And Dr. Gerster looked at her and said, "Ma'am, if you don't find them in the Bible, then by all means, do not believe in them." And I thought that was good advice. At the end of the four nights, she came up to Dr. Gerster and said, "Well, you've proven to me that election and predestination are in the Bible, but I'm still not going to believe in it." And he said, you know, yeah. And, but he said a cold chill ran through his soul for this woman. The first night was one of ignorance. She didn't know. And she wanted to believe the Bible. The second, or the at the end of the four nights, that was a confession of rebellion. And at least this dear brother believes it's based upon Scripture. And that is one thing, when I had to really dig into the Scriptures on this subject matter, speaking in tongues and all of this, what Pentecostals and Charismatics are practicing, that's when I could no longer believe it. Because the more I studied it, I was like, wait a minute. It's in the Bible, so you have to believe it. But is the way they're practicing it in the Bible? And that's where I had the disagreement. That's why I had to say no.
Now, it just occurred to me something else that I wanted to mention. Especially in regard to the verses in Job, there is an emphasis on all men. And what people do not really have jump out at them in the 21st century is that to the Jewish ear and mind, the thought of all humans outside of Israel getting blessed miraculously by God was something that horrified many of them, because they,
yeah, it was very foreign to the Hebrew mind.
Yes, and they were the as they call Gentiles, the Goyim, that means the nations,
right?
And they, other than proselytes, Gentiles who actually were circumcised and became practitioners of the old covenant law, the Gentiles were dogs, and to view them as being grafted in to the kingdom of God was something that they would listen to with disbelief and sometimes even fury, anger, and prejudice. And so the gift of tongues was a, well, don't you agree, as many cessationists and especially perhaps Reformed Christians do, that the gift of tongues was a sign of judgment against Israel for rejecting their Messiah? And therefore, the nations were speaking the gospel in their own tongue.
In their own language, yeah.
Anyway, and if you have any follow-up question, Brian, you can feel free to email it to us. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to be more clear about our answers or answer something else for you. And by the way, if you give me your full mailing address, you have won, as a first-time questioner, a free New American Standard Bible. And Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, will ship that out to you at no charge to you or to us. Well, we are going to be returning after this first commercial break, and Jerry has some issues that he would like to bring up on his own that we will explore.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you a question real quick.
Sure.
How long is this break?
Somewhere around 8 minutes long.
I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
All right. And so if anybody else wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
In fact, there is somebody listening right now to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Joe in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, who has a cross pendant for a necklace from royaldiadem.com that was customized and created from Joe's own imagination. And he absolutely loves this cross. I've seen it, actually. It is mind-blowing how beautiful it is. And you can have your own customized, one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry, too, by going to royaldiadem.com. And my guest today, Jerry Johnson. He is also a customer of RoyalDiadem.com. Why don't you tell our listeners about your experience, Jerry?
They were great. Unfortunately, I have a tendency of waiting till the last minute to get my wife something for her birthday. And I was sitting here at the computer, and I looked down, and I was like, oh, man, her birthday's in 5 days, and I haven't gotten her anything. And I called you up. You put me in touch with Brian. Brian put me in touch with his daughter, and I think her name was Andrea. And they did they sent to me a bunch of things on a computer. I looked at them. I picked out a ring for her. They FedExed it to me. They got it for me before her birthday, so they got me out of the doghouse. And they were really great. They were great to work with.
So, folks, if you would like to purchase a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you want a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created from your own imagination, please go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that last part is very important. If you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we will receive 100% of the profits from that sale. And that's on top of the financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already automatically provides for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every month. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com soon if you have any intention to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, because we have no idea when they're going to pull the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale to one of our listeners who mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to RoyalDiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I just wanted to add one more thing before we go on to the topics that you wanted to discuss, Jerry. I first of all want to make clear that I believe many Pentecostals and Charismatics are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have learned from many of them, especially in the godliness of their lives very often. But having said that, the most dangerous element, I believe, of Pentecostalism and the Charismatic movement is the belief in modern-day prophecy. Not only is that an unconscious, unintentional denial of 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17, which states all Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work, fully capable, equipped for every good work. And if you believe we need new information from God, you're saying that the Scriptures are insufficient for that, for every man and woman to be fully equipped for every good work. Am I making sense there, Jerry?
Yeah, I think you are. Let me add to it. Notice it says all Scripture.
Yes.
Pas grape. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I do a sermon before I had the stroke. I did a sermon, and I would call it the Word of God and the Child of God. And what I would do is I would stand up and I would say, it doesn't say all feelings, all emotions, or all prophecies. It says all Scripture. My people do not perish for a lack of feelings. They perish for a lack of knowledge, and that knowledge was the Word of God.
Yes.
Now, I believe the Word of God, and we'll get into this, hopefully, if we have time. I believe the Word of God is the 66 books of the Bible, and it's nothing else.
That's right.
And when you have no place, no common ground from which to start or which to finish, then you can believe anything.
Yes, and this is an open door, this belief of modern-day prophecy, extra-biblical revelation, meaning revelation from God today that is not found already in the holy, inerrant Word of God in the Scriptures. This opens the door for all kinds of dangerous and heretical and sinister beliefs.
Yeah, I I told this story before, but it's worth the repeating. Years ago, I was working for a sign company, and I was at the ICLC. And I don't know what it was. We used to call it the Independent Charismatic Leadership Conference because that's kind of what it was. But it actually had a more official name. But there was this guy there. His name was Brother Tim. And he had the booth right next to me. And Brother Tim was a nice guy. And he was a very sincere guy. And he claimed that he was taking a shower one day. And while he was taking his shower, he fell into a trance and God spoke to him. And he came out of the trance like 4 hours later and the water was cold and he was cold and he wrote it all down and he was given the prophecy away. He put it in a book and he was giving it away. And he was telling me what it said. And I would say to him, well, Paul disputed that, or Christ disputed that. And finally he goes, well, you're depending too much upon the Bible. This is God's new revelation. And I realized when he said that, we had no common ground with which to speak. Now, I don't know. Yes, I do. I do know. Where did he get that? Either he got it from his own, you know, self-inflated ego, or he heard from a demon. Either way, it was a lie straight from the pit of hell because it said the word of God was not relevant.
Mm-hmm. And one more question, because this is a fascinating, to me, truth, that many people who have left Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement, who have experienced what they thought at the time was the gift of tongues, they later came to say that they now believe they were merely in a deep desire to please God. They were merely imitating what everybody else was doing.
Right.
And they were being told by their pastors, leaders, and fellow congregants that they had this gift when they did that. They were being, it was being confirmed that what they were doing is genuine. They later came to believe that it was just gibberish. And so I know that you never received the gift while you were a Pentecostal, and
even though I sincerely sought it,
yes,
because I believed it. I went to the Brownsville Assembly. I had that guy Steve Hall pray over me.
Wow.
I lifted up my hands. I was like, Lord, if you want to speak through tongues through me, if you want me to be slain in the spirit, I am a willing instrument. And it didn't happen. And I always remember this. Christ said, and you being evil, if your son asks you for a loaf of bread, who would give him a serpent? How much more will your heavenly Father give it to those who desire it or who seek it?
Right.
The Holy Spirit. And I was taught in the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, bless their hearts. And you're right. I knew many godly men in that movement, men that were more godly than I could ever imagine, but they were sincerely wrong on this point.
Yes. And, well, I think that we've covered enough of that for now, unless anybody else joins us with a question on that. Let's move into one of the questions that you already wanted to address from your own list. Should Christians attend a homosexual or transgendered wedding? And this obviously became a very controversial issue that erupted when Alistair Begg, world-renowned, reformed Bible teacher and preacher and author, somebody whose writings and whose sermons I have enthusiastically promoted in the past, He shocked me and many of his followers when he gave the advice during a podcast to a grandmother to attend her grandchild's her adult grandchild's wedding to a so-called transgendered person in order to demonstrate love, as long as that person knew that they disagreed with marrying somebody of the same biological sex and disagreed with the whole transgendered movement and so on. Going to this so-called wedding was to be an evidence of love for that person. And I and many other folks were horrified by this advice. And in fact, I conducted an interview with somebody who is a representative of the American Family Association, whose radio network took Alistair off the air after this horrific advice he gave. And M.D. Perkins is his name, M.D., just like medical doctor, Perkins, P-E-R-K-I-N-S. If you want to hear that interview, just type in P-E-R-K-I-N-S into the search engine at iontrepandzionradio.com, and you'll hear my interview about that. But I want to hear your specific answer to that question.
All right. I am going to speak very candidly. First, let me say I, too, have profited a lot from Alistair Begg's ministry. I listen to sermons every day when I walk, and you know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard one of his sermons. I thought, man, that is great. I think he's a sincere man. I'm not saying he's not a Christian for this position he's holding. So I want people to understand that. I do believe he's a Christian. I do believe he's saved. I do believe he's profitable. I believe he's sincere, but I believe he's sincerely wrong.
Yes, and he does also agree with us that so-called same-sex marriage is an abomination. It's not a real marriage. He believes that homosexuality, if you do not repent of it, you are damned. So he would agree with us on all of the essential doctrines that involve homosexuality. But at the same time, he said in order to demonstrate love that this was the thing that would be the best counsel, which is mind-boggling that he would say that. But you can continue now.
Yeah, I don't believe it is showing love. I believe it's the opposite.
Yes, yes.
And the thing that gets me, because I look for his statement because I wanted to hear it directly. Unfortunately, I couldn't find it. I found people commenting about it, but I never heard him say it. But I'm going to believe, because a lot of the people that responded to it, I really respect. But and so I don't doubt that he said that. But here is the shibboleth, if you will. Here is the point I believe he is missing. God does not need you or me or Charles Spurgeon or anybody to proclaim the gospel. And that is what I think that is missing, that he doesn't understand. He chooses us, but he doesn't need us. All right, so I want to make that point. John the Baptist, when he was, you can look at it in Matthew chapter 3, he says to the Jews, the Pharisees, he said, "Do not say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones." And Jesus says the same thing on, Palm Sunday. The Pharisees said, "Hey, you need to tell your disciples to be quiet." And Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they would not stop speaking, the stones would cry out." My point is, God doesn't need us. He chooses us. He lets us participate with him. So we need to do things his way. And here's one of the questions I would have for Alistair Begg. Suppose there was a wedding and you were invited to it, and the husband or the husband, the man and the woman said, as their first act of being married, they were going to have sex on stage for everybody to watch. Would you go to that? I wouldn't.
No.
And I don't think he would either. So my point being is, if it is dirty, if it is wrong, if God is saying, no, it's an abomination, don't do it. Don't be involved in it or even give any type of credence to it. Do what is right in God's eyes, not man. And it reminds me of that passage that Paul said, am I now trying to persuade men or God? For if I try to persuade men, then I am not the servant of Jesus Christ. And
yes, and you can even make something, you can make a comparison that is even less shocking and perhaps even more believable. I'm sure Alistair, at least I would think, I'm pretty confident he would not attend a wedding if a man he knew, might even be his close friend, was cheating on his wife, divorced his wife, and then married the adulteress fairly quickly. So we're not talking about decades of time elapsing or something. He marries this adulteress and pleads with Alistair to attend the wedding. I'm sure he would say, no, I can't.
Right.
You know, you've committed a sin against God, and you've also crushed the wonderful woman that you were married to. You've deeply offended her. And so, therefore, I think that this is even more of a horrific example, because it's not even a wedding. It's a satanic imitation of a wedding.
Right. I'm sorry. I had it on mute.
No, that's quite right.
Yeah. Years ago, and I'm not going to say his name, there was a man that was sharing the gospel with a stripper, and he would actually go into the place that he was that she was stripping, the strip club, and his wife got upset that he would go in there. And I can remember I said to him, brother, you need to do what your wife is asking. And he wouldn't do it. He thought the gospel, she needed to get the gospel. He was going to go into the strip club. I would not encourage anybody to do that.
Right, exactly. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Please be patient with us, folks. The middle break is always the longer break in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, is required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpened Zion Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Respond to as many of our advertisers as you can so that they will continue to advertise and keep this program on the air. Their financial support through their advertising is absolutely essential to our existence. And also, use this time to send in your questions to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Jerry Johnson, so please do not go away.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And I'm urging you folks, if you've never purchased books from solid-ground-books.com, go to that website today, solid-ground-books.com, and make your very first purchase. And if you are already a regular customer of solid-ground-books.com, go to that website and make your largest purchase than ever before if you can afford to do so. We depend on the financial support of solid-ground-books.com. And by the way, when you purchase books from them, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward through all the centuries to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today. Visit that site frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion with Jerry Johnson today, I have some important announcements to make. If you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion, as my dear friend and guest today, Jerry Johnson, just did this morning. And I want to thank him again for the very generous contribution that he made today. And you can do the same if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. If you prefer snail mail, as some people do, sending in a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, your business, or maybe it's just a special event, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help to launch an advertising campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. If you are without a church home that is Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, and theologically sound, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I will help you find a church, if at all possible. Even if you live in Europe, or if you live in South America, or if you live in Asia, or wherever it is, I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done with many people in our audience spanning the globe. And by the way, Dawn in Spokane, Washington, I am still trying to find a church for you. Thank you for the email I received today, and I will try to get back to you with a solid recommendation as soon as possible. But if you are in Dawn's position of needing a church home wherever you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Oh, yes, I almost forgot one more reminder. Please, if you are donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never take money out of the funds that you have allotted for giving to your own local church where you're a member on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Please never cut into that financial resource for your own church and give your own church less money than you normally do in order to bless us. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more stable financially before you send us a gift, because the Bible's very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use that to provide for church and family, and providing for this radio show is not a command of God. But if you love the show and don't want it to disappear, and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us so we can continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And if you have a question for Jerry Johnson, please send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com and give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. So, Jerry, I don't know if you have finished in your segment on should we attend a homosexual or transsexual wedding. If you are finished in what you had to say, one thing that I wanted to add, your illustration of would somebody ever attend a wedding where even the heterosexual couple said that they were going to actually consummate the marriage in public on stage, would you go to that? The thing that was interesting is that Alistair Begg, in this counsel that he gave in the hearing shot of thousands of people on this podcast, he never said to ask grandma, he never told grandma to ask her grandchild, who was inviting her to the so-called transgendered wedding, what's going to be going on at this wedding reception. He never said to the woman, please make sure that there is not some vulgar display of sexuality going on, because these folks can't seem to keep their shirts on even on the White House lawn, let alone when disco music is blaring and people are dancing and they are at a celebration of sodomy. You know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, that wasn't even considered, it seemed, by Alistair Begg. Isn't that something that is an amazing?
Yeah.
And the key issue with that is, what is an act of love? And no matter what you tell a person, your physically being there at a celebration speaks louder than your words that you disagree with the act and the so-called wedding, which is not a wedding at all. Your being there is going to give the very clear signal to everyone that you are celebrating that event.
Right.
And that's not an act of love.
And that is what concerns me. I know he was sincere when he said it, but like I said, he was sincerely wrong, because the gospel doesn't need us. God doesn't need us. He lets us. And we got to remember that.
And it just flew out of my head what I was going to say. But irregardless, I think
that's happening to me more and more. It'll only get worse, brother.
Right. And I just used a word that I think they made up in Boston. I said irregardless. I mean, regardless, it is not an act of love to do something like that, to attend a satanic event like that.
I'm sorry, Chris. Are you from Boston?
No, but I've heard people from up there say irregardless.
Irregardless. All right. I want to get on to the next subject matter, because this is something that really means a lot to me.
Circumstantial epistemology.
Yes. And let me just, epistemology is basically, how do you know what you know? All right. How I know what I know, and I'm sure there's a lot of points where I'm not doing it right, but how I know what I know is from the Bible. Revelation, the mere word, means that it's revealed. God revealed it to us. And so many times I have talked to Christians that they don't believe. I mean, they believe the Bible is the word of God, but when it comes to circumstances, they seem to speak louder than the Bible does. And I always point them back to the word of God. What does the word of God say? Let me give you an example. If somebody is walking down the road and they need $100 and they see a $100 bill fall out of a man's pocket, they seem to believe that God wanted them to have that $100, even though he says in his word, thou shalt not steal. You know where that $100 came from. You need to give it back to the man, not keep it for yourself, not assume that God wanted you to have it. And what I use is the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 24, and I'm not going to rehearse the whole thing here, but basically Saul was pursuing David. Saul goes into a cave to sleep. David and his men are hiding in that cave. And David's men said, look, God has given you Saul into your hands. And David said, to make a long story short, I'm not for me to touch the Lord's anointed. And he told Saul, hey, I could have done this to you, but I didn't. And God, I believe, was testing David. David's followers even quoted scripture to him. And David said, I'm not going to do this. And what I believe what was transpiring there was God was testing David to see if David was going to lean to his own understanding or if he was going to take God at his word and not touch the anointed. And too many Christians look at tea leaves, they look at circumstances, they look at happenstances, what's going on, and that is how they ultimately define truth. But truth is only found in the Word of God, not in circumstances. So we need to get a lot of Christians, we need to get rid of, jettison this belief that circumstances will dictate how we behave. It's the Word of God. We need to trust him with the results. Do what is right in his eyes and trust him with the results. So even if we're walking down the road and we need $100, if we see it fall out of a man's pocket, it is not a sign that God wants you to have it. It is a sign that God wants to see if you're going to be obedient.
Amen. And would you like to move on with your political dichotomy, or would you like to remain in circumstantial?
Let me just say this real quick, because I have political dichotomy, because a lot of people seem to think that God is a Republican. A lot of people seem to think that God is a Democrat. I've talked to both of them, and I always have to tell them, the Republican Party is really not much better than the Democrat Party. I always equate it that if you look at it, the only savior of the United States is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is only if he considers it good and right to do so. But if you look at both political parties, the Democrats are on a tractor heading off a cliff. Now, they may be going faster than the Republicans, but the Republicans are going right off the cliff with them. And we need to remember that God is neither a Republican or a Democrat. And so what we've got to do, because every 2-4 years, whatever the case may be, we get to vote. It's like us arguing with the captain of the Titanic about which side to move the chairs to as the boat is going down. Folks, the boat is still going down. I don't care who's sitting in the seat. It could be a Republican or it could be a Democrat. But in the end, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to save this country. And too many Christians have got it in their mind that if we just get enough Democrats elected, or if we just get enough Republicans elected, they're both wrong. We need to vote for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only person that we should vote for and the only person that can save America. Nobody else can.
Well, when we go, however, into a voting booth, Jesus Christ is not on the ballot. So do you believe that a Christian can be justified voting for a candidate that enthusiastically, giddily supports a woman's so-called right to murder her unborn children?
No, no, I don't. And I will tell you right now, just to be as transparent as possible, I usually vote Republican, all right? The one time I didn't was when Mitt Romney ran for president. I refused to vote for him for multiple reasons. One, I was afraid that Mormonism and Christianity were going to be confused. Mormonism is not Christianity. No way, shape, or form. It's actually Antichrist. The other thing is, I really believe that Mitt Romney was kind of Obama-lite. And I didn't like Obama's policies. I didn't like Mitt Romney's policies. I put out a statement. I got 50 people to sign it. You know, scholars, if you will. But I lost a lot of friends because of that. One in particular that was really upset that I wasn't going to support the Republican candidate. And I told him I'm not going to do it, no matter what. And he eventually came back to me and said, you know what? You were right. But that was like 2016. He didn't talk to me for a long time. And he was upset with me. And I told him there was no way I was going to vote for Obama. There was no way I was going to vote for Mitt Romney. And I think time proved itself out that I was right about Mitt Romney.
Oh, yeah. Well, shall we now delve into the myth of the age of accountability?
This is one thing, and I've heard people speak about this numerous times, and I'm going to play off your statement here. If the age of accountability, which is not biblical, people have come up with that. The problem is it kind of meets our modern view, and I say ours, not yours or mine, that people go to hell because they have not heard the gospel of Christ. I can remember one time I was at a church. I was probably been a Christian for about 2 years, and we had this guest speaker in, and he was talking about what do you do with the pygmy African that has never heard the gospel? When he dies, is he going to go to hell? And the problem with the question is it assumes that the pygmy African is innocent. All are guilty before the law of God. We go to hell, or a person goes to hell, let me say that, because they are a sinner, not for any other reason. And hell, nobody is going to be in heaven that deserves to be there, and nobody is going to be in hell that should be surprised to be there.
Right.
And with a child, I can remember years ago I was talking to Dr. R.C. Sproul, and he said to me, I got to remember how he said it. They had, Table Talk had done a cover, and they had a little baby on the cover and a little blue blanket over his head, and the baby was smiling, all cute and everything, and the only caption next to it was "totally depraved." And Dr. Sproul said, "We lost more support with that than we did anything else." And that is because a lot of Christians see that baby as being innocent. Let me say this, and I want people to hear it. We do not become sinners when we sin. That is Pelagianism. We sin because we're born sinners.
Yes.
That little baby is going to sin.
Yes.
That little baby, actually, David says, "In sin did my mother conceive me." You were a sinner the minute you were conceived. So if that baby dies in infancy, then it's automatically going to go to hell. Now, I don't understand why, but the Word of God tells us, it teaches us original sin, and then it teaches us total depravity. So we're all born, every single one of us, with original sin. We're all born with total depravity. If we weren't, then the greatest evangelist of all time would be abortion doctors. It would be cruel to let a baby live.
Now, you are referring to an age of accountability that involves salvation, as if a child innately is pure and innocent, free from the inheritance of Adam's sin until they can consciously choose to sin. You're talking about that being a fallacy.
Yes.
But at the same time, is it wrong to use the phrase, in your opinion, the age of accountability, when we're talking about something like a child in a church to have voting privileges, or a child to be welcomed to the Lord's Supper, even though you believe in infant baptism? I'm assuming you do not believe in infant communion as a growing number.
That is correct.
Right. So is that an incorrect use of the term to say that you believe in the age of accountability when it comes to voting, when it comes to the Lord's Supper as a Baptist?
No, it's not. It's not. I wouldn't use it that way. I'm talking specifically about salvation.
Right.
Justification.
But would it be appropriate or inappropriate to use it for that those reasons, that phrase?
I would probably use a different term. Now, my children were admitted to the Lord's table. I had one guy, a good guy, tell me he wouldn't admit any child over the age of 12 to the Lord's Supper.
You mean under the age of 12?
Under the age of 12. I disagreed with him. I believe if a child is 5 years old and they can discern the Lord's body, they should be admitted to the Lord's Supper. I do believe they need to be examined by the elders to make sure, because I don't want that child eating and drinking condemnation to themselves. And I heard a guy, actually it was Dr. Ken Talbot, and because if you go up to a child and say, "Do you love Jesus?" the child is going to say yes. And then you could say, "Well, do you love Adolf Hitler?" The child will say yes. Do you know what day of the week it is? No, they don't know what day of the week it is. So how can they discern the Lord's body? So I do believe the elders, and I had Ken Talbot and some of his elders examine my children before they were admitted to the Lord's table. And I believe that's totally appropriate.
Okay. We have Langston in Seacliff, Long Island, New York. And Langston asks, how do you respond to people who say God would never hold the sins of Adam and Eve against people who had not committed that same sin in the Garden of Eden?
Well, see, there is a doctrine, if you will, that's called federalism.
Right.
Adam and Eve were our federal representatives. And when Adam sinned, I would take him to Romans chapter 5. When Adam sinned, sin passed to all men. And anybody that has a earthly father, because the sin comes through the father, I would believe, and everyone has an earthly father except the Lord Jesus, I would say, go to Romans 5. I would read that. God picked for us the best representatives in Adam and Eve. We would have done the same thing if we were there.
Yes. So, in other words, it doesn't matter that we weren't there. We would definitely not have done any better.
Well, Romans 7 tells us that in the loins of Levi, or in the loins, how does it go? All of a sudden, I'm having a senior moment.
It's not
in the loin. I'm sorry. Here. It was in the loins of somebody. Oh, in the loins of Aaron were Levi. And I believe in the loins of Adam were all of us. Because right. I believe we are all Adam's offspring. So we carry that original sin, that total depravity that Adam chose for us, and we would have done the same thing. And that's what Romans 5 tells us.
All righty. Would you like to go on to how should we then feel?
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a little play on words, because this is an epidemic in American culture. How you feel now becomes the arbiter of truth. And what they believe, or what they mean by that, is how I think, but they're using the word feelings. Now, I like Ben Shapiro often says, facts don't care about your feelings. And he's right. Mm-hmm. Facts don't care about your feelings. How you feel is not important. How you feel is not truth. You can feel something all day long, and you could be sincerely wrong. What we have to do is go back to what the Bible says. And so, the Bible is our arbiter of truth, not how we feel.
You know, let me throw into the mix here, since we had in the very beginning of the program a question from a Pentecostal listener. There is a two-edged sword in what I'm about to say. On the one hand, Pentecostals and Charismatics attribute far, far too much importance to how they feel during a worship service. The Holy Ghost,
yep.
The Holy Ghost goosebumps. We should never use our feelings as the final arbiter of whether or not what we are either hearing preached or proclaimed, or what we are doing in a worship service, dancing around, doing cartwheels and so on. We should never use how we are feeling as an arbiter of whether it's truly of God. And at the same time, those in our theological circles, theologically reformed churches, and it's not exclusive to us, but there are others who can be just as stoic in their or emotionless in their worship. We, on the other hand, have to be careful that we do not offer to God a worship that is devoid of evidence that we really are grateful to him for everything, and that we really do love him from the depths of our soul, which will produce emotions. Now, not everybody produces emotions the same way, but we are too frequently accurately described as having funeral services every Sunday. But if you could comment on what I said, the two extremes there.
Yeah, one of the things I tell people is feelings do not lead, they follow.
There you go.
So whatever is, I can remember one time I was at a political rally, because just for your listeners to know, I used to be a county director for Christian Coalition, all right? And that was back in the 90s. I got to meet a lot of dignitaries. What was his name? Man, I'm having a senior moment. the congressman from Georgia, Newt Gingrich. And I got to meet him, and I got to be on stage with him, and I thought I had arrived. And I can remember Newt is a great speaker. And he was speaking, and I can remember thinking, I have the same emotions that I do when I hear somebody preach the unadulterated gospel. But it wasn't the same. He wasn't presenting the gospel. You know, and what I had to do was I had to get my emotions in check, because my emotions were not the arbiter of truth. God's word is the arbiter of truth. And, you know, too many Christians put stock on their feelings. There was this comedian one time, Mark Lowry. Right. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes, a Christian
and
comedian.
Mark was talking about when he wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the bathroom, and he said he figured out what toes are for. They're to find the corner of furniture at 3 a.m. And I thought that was funny. And while he was going to the bathroom, he said, I didn't feel like a Christian, but it didn't change the fact that I was a Christian. Yeah. And I thought, man, that's a good illustration.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I do have emotions and feelings in a worship service. I do have emotions and feelings when I hear the word of God, but they are not the arbiter of truth, because I also have emotions and feelings when I heard Newt Gingrich speak that day. You know? And it is not the same thing, and we need to get away from that. I feel we have so many people say, well, I feel I watched Judge Judy a lot. And Judge Judy said this young girl came up to one of the lecterns, and Judge Judy was asking her a question. And she goes, well, I feel. And Judge Judy said the same thing. I didn't ask you how you feel. I asked him what he said. And we've got to remember that when it comes to the word of God, not how you feel, but what God said.
Right. Our feelings can definitely and often do and have always, since the dawn of time, played tricks on us.
Yep.
And we have to go to our final commercial break, and this is your last opportunity if you want to join us on the air with a question of your own. Submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back. Please do not go away.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program, hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen, in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God, like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. I want to remind our listeners that this program is always paid for in part by my very dear friend dating back to the early 1990s, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law of the law firm Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice, no matter where you live in the United States, please call my friend Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website for Buttafuoco and Associates at 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you are a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon to be held on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County. And not only are you going to have a free meal, and everybody is going to enjoy a free day of fun, fellowship, rest and relaxation, and edification from our keynote speaker for the first time, Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reform Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Not only is all that for free, you're also going to be receiving, as everyone who attends will be receiving, a free heavy sack of brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. If you'd like to register for this free event on June the 6th, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And we are now back with my guest, Jerry Johnson. Today is Uncle Jerry's Hodgepodge Lodge, where you could submit questions on any topic that you choose. And our email address is chrisaronson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. And I want to let you know that we have a listener named Tracy, just like your lovely wife's name, Jerry. Tracy in Noble, Oklahoma. And Tracy says, isn't one of the dangers of the Pentecostal movement that they attribute things to God that are often nonsensical and are absolutely at times completely absurd and ridiculous, and yet people are afraid to question the authenticity of these things because they are being claimed by their favorite preacher or even a close friend as being of divine origin and from heaven? Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I'll tell you how that actually manifested itself. I don't know if you saw this, Jerry, but there was a fascinating roundtable discussion between two charismatics, Samuel Storms, who actually is, believe it or not, a five-point Calvinist and theologically reformed, but he is also a charismatic, full-blown charismatic, and his participant in agreement with him was Michael Brown, Jewish believer and charismatic, and the two cessationists involved were Justin Peters and his former pastor, Jim Osman. And during that discussion, things kept coming up. For instance, a apparently well-known and highly revered, charismatic leader, revered in those circles, that is, said that Jesus Christ appeared at his bedside, or at the foot of his bed, playing the saxophone. And the two charismatics, although they chuckled at this and said that that kind of thing is very unlikely, they could not say it didn't happen. And they even...
I could say it didn't happen.
But they even challenged Justin Peters and Jim Osman. How do you know it didn't happen? So go ahead.
When John was on the Isle of Patmos, he saw the risen Lord, and he gives a description, and he said, "I fell down at his feet as dead." Isn't it interesting that a lot of these charismatic leaders claim to have a vision of Christ? I read one time where Kenneth Copeland was talking about him like he had just come off a dusty street in Jerusalem. That isn't the same one that the Apostle John saw. I don't know who he saw.
In fact, Kenneth Copeland believes God the Father has a physical body, much the same size and weight as Kenneth Copeland, of course, which is a heresy in of itself.
Yes, it is.
Very Mormon.
When somebody says they had a vision of the risen Lord, I usually let it drip off of me like water off a duck's back. I don't believe it. And it astounds me that nobody has ever said, they probably will now, but nobody has ever said, "Oh, I saw a vision of the risen Lord and I couldn't stand up in his presence." Right. John fell down. Daniel felt sick, you know, and it actually took a touch from the Lord to make him stand back up.
Now, let me ask you a question about that. Do you put a lot of stock in the fact that critics of the charismatic movement, cessationists, will say that being slain in the spirit as they are in Pentecostal and charismatic churches is unbiblical because they fall backward in Pentecostal and charismatic circles, and in the Bible, those that are falling backward are under judgment. The people who are worshiping God and fall because of his glory, being the presence of his glory, fall forward. Is that a trivial distinction? Or
I think it is, but part of the problem is the only place we find slain in the spirit is in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They were literally slain in the spirit.
The shady real estate agents.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, when it comes to slain in the spirit, again, if you look at Daniel, he fell down on his face. If you fall backwards like they do in charismatic and Pentecostal circles, it reminds me of a Bugs Bunny cartoon where they're hitting Wile E. Coyote in the face with a frying pan. You know, they go back. And that is not, when you lose all strength, you would lose it in your knees and you would automatically fall forward. You wouldn't fall backward. And I just don't buy it. I don't buy the whole slain in the spirit. Let me tell you this, Chris, and I know we're probably going to have to go.
Yes.
It was years later, I talked to people that had gone to that Church of God that had all sorts of supposed Holy Spirit manifestations. Now, at this point, I didn't believe any of them. And I interviewed all of them, and every single one, when it came to the nitty-gritty, none of them were in the faith now. And when I interviewed them, they all said they had faked it.
Wow.
And I thought that it was interesting. I did want to make this one point. Do we have to go?
Yes.
Then I'll save it for next time.
In fact, we have three different subjects you wanted to address that we'll save for
next time. Well, I still wanted to finish the How Should We Then Feel.
Okay, we could pick that up when we return the next time.
Yep, all right. And, we'll do it.
And I want to thank everybody who listened. If you want to get a hold of Jerry, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I will forward that to him. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.